Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, a short greeting this morning as I want to open up with a compelling, profound interview with a gentleman named John C. McManus. He's the curator's professor of history at Missouri University of Science and Technology. He's the author of The Deadly Brotherhood, The American Combat Soldier in World War II, and Grunts Inside the American Infantry Combat Experience, World War II through Iraq. His brand new book, in light of all the anti-Semitism and discrimination going on, I'm sure you could hear it in my voice. I'm thrilled that he's coming out with this story, although it should be pretty much accepted by all. Hell before their very eyes. American soldiers liberate concentration camps in Germany, April 1945. You can witness the history, and the book is published by Johns Hopkins University Press in paperback. First of all, thank you for writing this book, and it's great to have you with us, John.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Stu. Thanks for having me on.
Before you address this, there's such, and I alluded to this at the beginning here, there's such a wave of anti-Semitism and discrimination, and I'll try to keep this apolitical if I can, but it's been increasing over the past decade, I think, at an exponential rate. Why do you think this is suddenly going on, and we're seeing horrific anti-sentiment against the Jews, and we're also seeing more and more denials that the Holocaust ever occurred?
Yeah, I mean, throughout a lot of history, there's been, ebb and flow of anti-Semitism, and it at times comes into vogue and then goes out of vogue. So we seem to be just in one of those environments now where it becomes a little bit more fashionable to kind of, embrace what we all, I think many of us would view as anti-Semitic ideas and opinions. And, you know, one thing, for instance, the Anti-Defamation League did a poll sometime in the last 2 years, and this is a worldwide poll, 103 countries, 53,000 adults, and it revealed that about 26% admitted to, very hard anti-Semitic attitudes. So I think there's still a lot of work to do along those lines.
We hear so much about the horrific experiences at all of these concentration camps. First of all, when I looked at this book, I didn't realize how many camps the Germans had. If you could just describe in kind of an overview how many they had and how horrific were the experiences that that the Jews went through.
Nazi Germany, we are finding out more and more, had really thousands of camps throughout Hitler's empire. And in fact, the The Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. has a major project that's been ongoing for years.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. And it's quite an emotional experience. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I have too. That's where I did a lot of the research for this book, and I'm right there with you. It is a very moving place. I highly recommend it to everyone. It's also extremely educational from a scholarly point of view. And, you know, they've been trying to document for many years, just how many camps there were. And, you know, what's quite common is that, you know, the Holocaust, as we know it, is really not just an effort at genocide. It's a massive slave labor operation. And so one of the ways Germany maintains its war production so well in the face of a massive aerial campaign is they farm out slave labor all throughout the empire. And so, you know, the treatment at these various labor camps varies from absolutely abysmal to barely tolerable. And, of course, it includes Jews, but also, quite commonly, many, many Eastern Europeans, slave laborers, POWs, and the like. The Nazi concept initially is to remove Jews from Germany completely. So the Jews had tended to be moved to death camps and killed in Poland or worked to death as slave laborers. By the end of the war, the survivors had been moved back to get them away from approaching Allied armies, particularly the Soviets coming into Poland. And so this is when the American soldiers encounter them, when they liberate camps. Jewish survivors are alongside survivors from many, many other ethnicities, countries, in what to the Americans is just a mishmash of people who they largely cannot understand in terms of language.
A lot of things are of such high impact and frankly, quite grueling to read. It almost has to be worn like a movie with violence, parental warning, so to speak. It's so brutal. But one of the things that stood out in my mind is Eisenhower and Patton reviewing and visiting the camps. And I was startled to see the reaction of General George Patton. This may indicate just how bad it was. Maybe you can elaborate.
Yeah, it's hard to find words in the English language or any language to convey just how bad it was for them, at least according to their, you know, what they have related to us all these years later. Patton, Eisenhower, and General Omar Bradley all visited Ohrdruf, which was the first camp Americans liberated in Germany, and that was on April 4th, 1945. And that was really just a low-level labor camp, a sub-camp of the more famous Buchenwald. In the book, I focus on three camps, you know, rather than try and, get at this topic, which could just be enormous and you could never finish it if you're looking at all the camps. So I looked at three as a kind of microcosm of the larger whole. So Ohrdruf, Buchenwald, and Dachau. And so what happens is Ohrdruf, of course, is shocking to the soldiers in the 4th Armored Division and the 89th Infantry Division who had liberated it on April 4th. And it remained more or less as it was for about the next week. So a week later, Ike, Patton, and Bradley all visited and see it for themselves. And Eisenhower and Patton, of course, had a long relationship, a long history of friendship with many ups and downs, of course. And Eisenhower made a point of saying that Patton got very, very ill at Ohrdruf, that he could not go in and look at all of the barracks and a shed full of bodies and, you know, this sort of blood and guts, hardline commander could not bring himself to do that. Whereas Eisenhower, I think it was a point of pride to him that he looked at every inch of that camp so that he could testify, that he had seen it with his own eyes. And he also, this is quite interesting, you know, in light of what we were discussing a moment or two ago, Eisenhower, I think, really anticipated that there would be people who would come along and deny that any of this ever happened. And so he wanted all this documented very, very clearly, very, very expansively from the beginning by governmental delegations, media, soldiers, and so forth.
And obviously, we still have the counter reaction to that. I'm not sure how to phrase this question, so why don't I just phrase it as it comes out, and we may have to carry it over into a break. How bad was it? What did they witness in the aftermath? I mean, everybody, not only Eisenhower and Patton, but American soldiers coming in. Can you even begin to describe it? I'm not sure how to phrase this question.
Sure. Yeah, that's part of what I've tried to get at in this book and what drew me to it. As you may know, I'm primarily an historian of Americans in combat, and especially in World War II. And one of the things that stood out to me is how many of them who had seen heavy combat and later liberated or, more commonly, witnessed a camp, felt that that was really the most difficult thing to talk about or address or, you know, to describe how terrible it truly was. So I think to kind of summarize it for you, I think for the vast majority of these guys, it was near incomprehensible. The stench was something that never left them, the stench of death, decay, human degradation, the waste and the filth of these places, the desperation in the eyes of the survivors. You know, and these were things the Americans were not prepared for. From privates to generals, almost everyone was really ignorant about the existence of these places or indeed how bad they were. When they come face to face with it, it's just incomprehensible to them. And I think the word that stays with me quite often is shock. They're absolutely shocked at these kind of conditions, that this could even be possible. And for many, it's extremely troubling for the rest of their lives, because they've seen now face to face what human beings can do to one another, the depravity and the cruelty. And this was very troubling to them.
Yeah, and since you're involved as a professor of history, I'm sure the effects are at least part of the explanation to what's going on today, knowing that Adolf Hitler kind of set the stage to have this kind of ideology for annihilation of the Jews, with tactics, with strategy, with an alliance with the far radical left, Hamas, the radical Palestinians, et cetera. There's been a strong carryover, hasn't there?
You know, purely in my opinion, yes. I'm sure plenty of people would dispute me, but I think the facts certainly speak for themselves. Anti-Semitism is anti-Semitism, no matter if it comes from extreme right, extreme left, or extreme center, or whatever. It is what it is, and I don't think World War II in Europe can even be understood without understanding what the intention of the Nazi regime is, which, of course, is to eliminate the Jews.
All right, we're going to come back right after a break here with John McManus.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
I've been teaching organic chemistry for the last 17 years, so I'm pretty good with complex calculations. But when I started thinking about my retirement, I was pretty stumped. Luckily, I have TIAA as my financial partner. Together, we retrosynthetically analyzed my financial future, which is organic chem speak for we figured it out.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., AM 1120, WBNW.
Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and I've just done an interview with Stu Taylor, who is one of the smartest, most articulate, and insightful interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. It's just been wonderful being on his show, and I can't wait to be on his show again and again in the future.
All right, we're rejoined by Professor John C. McManus of Missouri University. And his, enlightening and compelling book, Hell Before Their Very Eyes, American Soldiers Liberate Concentration Camps in Germany, April 1945. You can get this book in all the conventional ways, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Johns Hopkins University Press is the publisher. And John, you picked these three concentration camps, out of curiosity, why wasn't Auschwitz included in here?
Well, because the American soldiers did not liberate Auschwitz. So this was the focus of my research was on the American soldiers who liberated or witnessed the camps. And believe it or not, as much information as there is on the Holocaust, not that much had been done about the American experience of liberating or witnessing camps. And I really felt as a historian of the American military and the combat soldiers that was one area in which I could contribute. So, as bad as Dachau, Buchenwald, or Dachau were, they really paled in comparison to Auschwitz and the other death camps that were in Poland.
I heard, I can't remember where, but I heard that the prisoners were so malnutritioned. I guess the average weight was under 80 pounds for those who have been in there a long time. I mean, it's just unimaginable that when a lot of them were released, their bodies couldn't adjust to the ingestion of food. And a lot of them died because they either ate too fast or drank too fast, or there just wasn't an acclimation process. Have you looked into that at all?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I talk about in the book and at some length. If you're an American soldier who goes into one of these camps and sees this, one of the things that is very difficult for you to deal with is the food situation. Of course, you've correctly stated, you've got people who are probably 60, 70, 80, 90 pounds underweight. They're in terrible condition. For an American soldier, you're the best-fed person in the world at that point. What do you want to do? You want to give them food. Your rich C rations and K rations, though, are poison to people in that condition. And there were deaths. It was extremely tragic, and it comes about because of the real ignorance and unpreparedness that we have as we go in there. We just don't know what to do. The soldiers don't understand how to deal with all this, and so all of this has to shake out usually within a week or two after these places are liberated. Really tragic stories. There was one guy, for instance, at Buchenwald, a medic, who handed over a K-ration to a man whom he had helped liberate and now befriended. And the man, of course, wolfed it down because he was so incredibly hungry. and he died within 15 minutes. And, you know, unfortunately, the soldier had to live with that for the rest of his life. You know, the man had survived the worst that Nazis had thrown at him, only to be killed by kindness.
Just unimaginable. There are so many incidents, and you write about it in the book. It's what the book is about. I don't mean to be gory. You don't mean to be. You're serving as a journalist here, writing about fact. The Dachau death train. I think that's one of the illustrations of just how unimaginable the treatment was. Can you elaborate?
Absolutely. The death train of Dachau was 39 boxcars and train cars that were more or less filled with bodies. Estimates of how many vary from anywhere from about 1,500 to 2,500 or so. A lot of people in there and strewn about the tracks and whatnot. And if you're an American soldier going into Dachau on Liberation Day, that's the first thing you see. And, you know, shocked is a mild way of putting it. You have no idea this could be possible. And you wonder who they are, who did this to them, what this is about. And, you know, I know from studying it, they could have known at the time. But, the folks who were on that death train were there for over 3 weeks with very little food or water, being shuttled around Germany. Many of them were executed outright by their SS guards. Of about 4,500 who left on the original journey, only about 800 made it alive to Dachau. And this was 2 days before liberation, so obviously they weren't in good shape. So it's one of the reasons why the Americans, in a way, are as traumatized as they are, you know, seeing these emaciated bodies in the death train. And unfortunately, there was evidence of cannibalism, too, that they had found. It's just an awful, awful thing.
One more of these, and people are going to have to read the book, but I just want it to be an impact. This happened. This is reality. This isn't fiction. It's not one of those horror movies that is fabricated on television that you can live without. People should be informed about it. Was it Buchenwald that was designed to hold horses and it was crammed with men?
Right. This was the little camp. There were basically two parts of Buchenwald by Liberation Day on April 11, 1945. The main camp that had been there since 1937 with reasonable barracks and infrastructure, though, of course, not pleasant. And then the little camp, which had evolved as a kind of a dumping ground, all sorts of transit prisoners, especially coming back from Poland, as I had mentioned earlier. And, you know, it's just, you know, some horse stables, some tents, and one latrine for thousands of people. And it is truly hell on earth. There are bodies strewn about everywhere. The latrine is just, I won't even go into trying to describe that. I mentioned that in the book. But it's, the condition of people is just beyond the understanding of the Americans that come in there. So the medics had quite a job to try and care for people and nurse them back to health. And they were largely successful. Now, that's the remarkable thing. They had a very, very difficult job. Engineers also helped clean up the place. The little camp is a special piece of hell that is almost a different category compared to many concentration camps in Germany.
FDR, a lot of accusations here that the United States knew about this. We didn't do anything. We turned our back. Can you enlighten us in terms of what your research shows?
Yeah, the Allied government did know about the existence of the concentration camps. They did know about the German effort to basically kill the Jews and, of course, many others in Europe. They did know about the slave labor operation. This is all true. At the soldier level that I study, the knowledge was minimal to nothing. It did not filter down to the average guy, even to the high-ranking officers. Even Eisenhower didn't know really that much. And among those who later criticized that the Allies could have done more, of course they could have, but I would also point out that the United States sacrificed 200,000 of its sons and a few of its daughters to take down that Nazi regime. And I, as a military historian, don't really know of any other way to put a stop to this except to destroy and conquer that Nazi regime, which is precisely what happened. Now, I think if we're pointing out to before the war, when, you know, the Germans were evicting Jews and many Jews were looking for new homes and the doors of this country were closed, partially because of the National Origins Act that had been passed in 1944, which was a very anti-Semitic piece of legislation, trying to target one group to say they can't come into this country. Well, I hope we learn lessons from that. And that certainly does cost some lives. There's no question. But overall, I think when you look at the balance sheet, the United States and its allies did quite a bit to put a stop to this and sacrificed a lot.
All right. Hell before their very eyes. American soldiers liberate concentration camps in Germany, April 1945, written by John McManus, professor and historian at Missouri University. And
today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Stories of the Legal Exchange, Sundays 2 to 3, a.m. 1120, WBNW.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. Wrote Chicken Soup for this whole book series for you. And I want to tell you, you're listening to my friend Stu Taylor, who is chicken soup for your business soul. He makes you feel good while you earn more money and less time and have fun doing it and learning from all the greatest of the greats that he interviews so well.
All right, we continue here today, and joining us right now, a lovely lady whom I've had the pleasure of meeting. Her name is Heather Schwartz. She is the author of Darkness Falls, and the book is published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. It's available in paperback. And Heather, nice to have you on. Nice to be speaking with you again.
It's great to be here, Stu. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So many of these stories that we hear have fitful beginnings, despondency, almost hopelessness, a sense of it. And I love the ones like yours where things can be turned around where there is hope and faith. What is the book about and why did you write it?
Darkness Falls is story that follows Rachel Closedale into adulthood as she finds out her family secrets and what she's willing to do to save them from the evil things that are seeking to kill them. I wrote Darkness Falls originally as an escape from my own reality. I started it when my mom passed from cancer, and Rachel Closedale was just my escape. She gave me strength when I didn't have any.
So the where did the idea generate from, and when did it really happen? At what point you in terms of when you decided to write this?
I've always loved vampires. I've been obsessed with them my entire life. So after watching, I think, everything there is to see on vampires, I finally decided I didn't like the stories that I was hearing and reading, so I wanted to create my own, and that's when I sat down and wrote Darkness Falls. It was just supposed to be a one book, and my characters took on a life of their own, and now it's a large series.
By the way, we share that obsession with vampires. You can add werewolves into the equation for me, too. It's just an undying fascination with them. And if anybody has any interest in the integration of those kinds of concepts into a book like this, I can tell you that this book is getting great reviews. What is this going to be a series for you?
Yes, sir. It is going to be at least an 8-part series. The second book in the series will be out later this year. We're aiming for the end of summer. It's currently in production.
All right. You know, I always try to refer to what the hook for the book is. With so much competition out in the book market, other books of the same genre, and I know everyone is unique in its own way, however, that uniqueness is sometimes lost because there are so many books that are published every year. What are the distinguishing characteristics in this book that you think you should have a following of people make the choice to read it?
You know, to be honest, Stu, I read Twilight and I loved it. I was a huge Twihard, but unfortunately, Bella Swan was such a soft character. I wanted, when I did mine, because it has vampires and werewolves and shapeshifters, Rachel Closedale's a beacon of hope for young girls. She's a strong, adamant woman who's not afraid to go up against the dark. and she comes out ahead. It's supposed to be a symbolism for women everywhere to stand up and not be afraid.
Was there anybody whom you modeled yourself after as a writer that you've maybe internalized some of the skills that they've had and incorporated into your own writings? Any favorites?
My all-time favorite is William Shakespeare. I love him. I own his entire works collection. So I would have to say probably William Shakespeare, and I've been told that Darkness Falls reads similar to a screenplay.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with a better choice than that. I'm not sure there is a better choice than that. The book is Darkness Falls. What kind of a reaction have you gotten from this book, Heather? And who is your target audience?
My target audience is generically women and girls 13 to 34. So far, I've had only positive reviews, thankfully. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I know there's going to be negativity in there somewhere.
Well, that's the reality of it's the reality of life. But pretty good feedback from the book. It's received quite a bit of acclaim.
Yes, so far.
All right. And by the way, the cover is maybe you could describe the cover here because you wrote the book. When I pick up this book and look, you know, we have 1, 2, 3 seconds to make a quick judgment on whether we should buy a book. You look at the title. You look at the cover, and all you want to do is get someone to pick the book up and look at it, and then they can make their decision. Because if they spend another 10 seconds looking through it, at least it gives you the opportunity. Describe that cover.
The cover is Rachel standing in what's supposed to be the forest outside of her family home. And I had a really hard time deciding what I wanted the cover to be. And Tate Publishing, I mean, such an amazing group of people. They were able to literally pick it out of my head when I wasn't even sure what I wanted. And it came out beautifully. And it's got the scariness to it. And I just fell in love. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm holding it up to the microphone. I'm not sure how much help that's going to be. But, I mean, and I mean this in a positive sense. It's actually chilling. It really is. And for those who love stories like this, you're really going to enjoy this one. When you wrote this, did you have it prearranged in your head, the characters, the outcome? Or did you kind of go on that journey and take the trip that a reader would take where you didn't know what expectations were going to be fulfilled?
Absolutely. No, I had no idea what I was going to do with Darkness Falls when I was writing it. Rachel Clisdale and her family took me on an entire adventure with them as I was writing it. And the funny thing is I had a very detailed plan for The Corruption, which is the second book in the series. And my characters grew again through that writing and totally went off what I had outlined for them. And now I've got to figure out how to bring them all back together. But they develop on their own and sometimes throw me for a loop.
Which was more difficult, developing the characters or writing the plot?
I think developing the characters. I wanted them to feel real to the reader. My favorite books are the ones where when I put it down, I feel like I just ended my friend's story and I want to know where they are in life. And so that's what I wanted for Darkness Falls. I wanted people to learn to feel like Rachel was their friend.
Not every book has a message. Some are written just purely for entertainment. And I'll let people be the judge of which books I'm referring to and which ones aren't. Is there a message in this book? They may not be.
There's really not. I try to put on little messages at the beginning of the book and dedications. Like I said, Darkness Falls was written after my mom passed, so the book is dedicated to cancer survivors everywhere. And some of the proceeds I send to a charity here based in Houston because cancer touched me in such a large way. I want to be able to give that.
For your other books and following up on this, do you have a plan for all of them, or do you just do it one book at a time? I hate to use that expression. We'll take it one day at a time, one book at a time, but that's what I'm saying.
I have a generalized concept of where I want the entire series to go, but it's a very general concept, and I'm not positive it's ever going to make it there because, like I said, my characters grow on their own, and I'm just telling their story.
If you got advice for authors starting out, it's always difficult to begin the process and to begin a new profession, and now that you're an established and author, what advice do you have for people starting out and doing this?
Never give up on your dream. Life is a lot harder inside your own head than it is outside in the real world. There's nobody that's going to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. I find that most people are their own kryptonite. Don't give up.
I like that phrasing. Did you have problems taking this journey yourself where at times you felt, I'm just going to chuck it, I'm going to abandon it?
Many times. Darkness Falls took me 3 years to write. I abandoned it more times than I can count during those 3 years, and finally came back to it, finished it, and trying to get it published was a whole other horror story in itself.
All right. We've got maybe a minute or two left. Perhaps you can just quickly come up with... Well, I guess we don't. we'll have to pick this up. Next time I'm going to look at the clock. Darkness Falls, Heather Schwartz, Tate Publishing. Buy it if you feel. I love this kind of story, and a lot of people are out there who do as well. Take a look at the movies. Thanks so much, Heather.
Thank you, Stu.
All right, we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, this is Wayne Rogers. You see me every week on the Fox channel talking about business, and somebody who's as good as I am, if not better, Stu Taylor. Listen to his Business Talk Radio Network.
Keep that little promo in with Wayne Rogers, even though he passed away about a month and a half ago. And I've interviewed him on this show, and it was an amazing guy. It still saddens me to hear it, but I do keep that in the in the rotation, as well as one or two others who have passed away since. And it's just kind of my way of having a tribute to them. Anyway, as we continue here, you know, one of my little pet peeves, I can't stand it when people say anyways, and then you go to the you go to the dictionary, you look it up, and they're both acceptable to me. It just sounds rather, I don't even want to use the word pedestrian. It just sounds so low class. I don't know, it's just a personal thing that gets me. So if you want to aggravate me, get into a conversation with me and use the word anyways. Also keep saying, you know, you know, you know. Hillary says that all the time. You know, you know, you know. And I'm not a master of the English language. The other thing that really alarms me is like, you know, people who use like in about 10 times in a sentence. Those are my pet peeves this morning. So that concludes this morning's pet peeve segment. Oh, wait a minute. I have one more pet peeve. That's what's going on in the political arena. And I want to be objective about this. Donald Trump coming on and complaining about Colorado. Donald, why didn't you go to Colorado and campaign? Why didn't you set up a grassroots organization? I don't know if Ted Cruz is going to get the nomination. He may, by virtue of a big push by the GOP, especially since Donald Trump is doing everything he can to alienate him. You know, I've been watching the two of the past couple of days, and he's becoming more statesman like he is, but he's still saying things he shouldn't say. Why would you go after Rance Priebus, whom is not one of my favorite people? He's kind of running the Republican Party, but why go after them? All you're doing is providing more impetus, more desire to figure out how to stop you and have a broken convention. Doesn't it make sense to kind of play the game? You know, you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. This is the part of Donald Trump that scares me more than anything. Do I think he's a threat to push the button? No, not at all. But he will be laying out plans, more in-depth plans. I think that he finally got a team together to put, but I'm not running for president. And he looks like he's going to come close to the 1,237 votes, except this whole delegate system is just, it's awful. It's disgraceful, just like, you know, the popular vote versus the electoral vote. I think that should be changed to the popular vote. What about caucuses as opposed to open primary voting? It seems to me that in both parties, it's rather antiquated. Now, if you want to look at corruption in the Republican Party, I don't really agree with Donald Trump. I think the system by its very nature is rigged, but I think it's rigged for the Democrats. And I'll explain that in a moment. I think it's specifically rigged for Hillary Clinton, whom everybody is putting their life savings on. I don't mean just financially. I mean emotionally. Oh, if I wake up in the morning, I don't want to waste prayers on things that are so much less importance than family and health and all this other stuff. But, oh, please, please, Hillary, get yourself in jail where you belong. And we'll have to deal with the likes of whoever takes over. Now, Trump lost the delegate count. He lost everything in Colorado, and he's moaning and complaining and whining. If you look at the results of past voting, the delegate count has actually been in his favor, and he's criticizing this system. It's part of what I find just offensive about Donald Trump, and yet look at this huge success he is. You know, he's been able to battle the elements of everyone. Who in the past has created such separation in terms of the like-dislike factor, other than maybe Hillary, and still being in the driver's seat? It's Donald Trump. But the best-run campaign here is with Ted Cruz, and it's now somewhat comforting to see all those disgusting rhinos in the Republican Party forced to embrace Ted Cruz. As Lindsey Graham said, what do you want to take? What's a poison or a bullet? It's your choice on how to die. And he chose the lesser of the two evils. I can't remember the exact quote, which is Ted Cruz over Donald Trump. And then Trump comes out and he's considering Scott Walker and Marco Rubio as his vice president. I mean, none of this. You know, I've been following politics for a long time, and I am just, like everybody else, beside myself to come up with explanations in both parties. But the delegate thing is so rigged on the Democrat side, even though Hillary's going to run away with New York, as Trump is going to run away with New York. When you think that Bernie Sanders has won 8 out of 9 states and he's losing ground. When you look at the investigation into the emails, when you look at the checkered career with the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's background, nothing will stop the powers to be from exercising their power to make sure that Hillary is the nominee. And then it's all up for grabs. If Hillary makes it, and I think she will, I am just not confident that a Republican will win the presidency. I believe, you know, I'm beginning to believe more and more every single day, as much as I hate to say it, as much as it pains me, and as much as it should pain you, that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president of the United States. I mean, I'm still choking and gagging over Barry Hussein Obama. This is just an extension of his term. And when you look about solutions to the big problems we have, like foreign policy, our issues with China, our issues with Iraq, North Korea, Iran, who's come up with any specific solutions? Maybe it's too late. There's one explanation. I don't know who can solve it. And anybody who opens his or her mouth is going to commit a faux pas. Nobody is addressing the issues in detail. This is what I would like to hear about. Hey, this is Hollywood. These are reality shows. This is an entertainment society. It's perfect for Donald Trump. and yet I bleed to vote for him over Hillary Clinton. What kind of a statement is that? Stu Taylor, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.